God loves me.
Amen.
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 Does God love you?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
God loves me.
That's something you got to know for yourself.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. See, the preacher can tell you that all you want, but until you receive the love of God. Glory to God. But you know what? We got to tell people God loves them.
Amen.
But some people think God don't love them because of what they've done. But God loves you, amen, because of what His Son has done.
Amen.
Amen. He died for the sins of the whole world.
Yes, He did.
And if we accept His Son, amen.
Amen.
God sees us through Him.
Amen.
Amen. And so I know God loves me. Even when I mess up, God loves
yes.
me.
Amen. Amen.
Even when I don't get it quite right, God loves me.
Amen.
Yes,
even when nobody else loves me.
That's right.
God loves me.
God loves me.
So guess what? I'm always loved.
Amen.
Right?
Yes,
amen.
I'm always loved. Every minute, every second of the day, I'm loved. Because God loves me.
Amen.
When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So not only He loves me, He promotes me.
Amen.
Amen.
Is that good stuff?
Yes, sir.
And that says nothing but the Word of God. Amen. So we're encouraged today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. On this wonderful Father's Day. Happy Father's Day again to every father everywhere.
Amen.
Amen. And we praise the Lord. Amen. I pray that the fathers have a good day ahead of them.
Amen.
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 A day of love and joy. Amen. And if your father is still here, bless him and honor him.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
But watch this. If he's not here, bless him and honor
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen.
How many of you know you can honor somebody after they're gone?
Yes.
By the way you live. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
So we bless and honor our fathers. Amen. And every father here. Amen.
Amen.
And God is our Father, amen. And He has a word for us today. I'm going to ask you to turn with me. Let's turn together to John chapter 14. Amen. We want to encourage fathers today. Amen. Mother's Day, we encourage the mothers.
Yep.
Right? Amen. And on Father's Day, we want to encourage the fathers. How many of you know that being a father is not easy?
Amen. That's right.
Hmm? There's a lot of responsibility on fathers. Because God, and see, someone's not going to like this already. Not here, but somewhere. Right? But God has made the man the head of the household.
Yep.
See, some people don't like that right there. Because they, you know, that. I remember back in the 70s, you know, when I was a kid, and there was a commercial called the Anjali.
Yeah.
The Anjali woman. You remember that woman? Come on. I can bring home the bacon. Fry it up in a pan. Remember
that?
The Anjali woman. Right? And ain't nothing wrong with wanting to bring home bacon. But I love some bacon. But real bacon or money, amen. I ain't no problem with that. But understand something. God has created an order in the household. And see, we can try to disregard that order all we want. But God's not changing for us. I am the Lord God, I change not. If I establish the household in a certain way, that's how it's supposed to run to its peak efficiency. Right? Amen. We all got to fulfill our roles. So, listen, Father, just because you are head of the household don't mean you the boss.
Uh-oh.
That's right.
Right.
Walking around there, you going to tell me what to do. See, God didn't anoint that. He anointed you walking in love with your wife and with your children and not trying to be a tyrant. Being responsible don't mean you the boss. It just means you're accountable. See, now the man got quiet. Bro. They got quiet on me now. Amen. But we are accountable, amen. To whom much is given, what? Much is
required.
That's right.
So if God put you in amen as a man. If you're the head of the household, understand how much is required of you. So guess what? Don't complain. But we have a word of encouragement for fathers today, amen. And we're in John chapter 14. Let's look at verse number 6 together. We're going to begin reading there. John 14, verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks on this Father's Day. We thank you, God, for every father near and far. We thank you, God, for those fathers in the body and those who are outside the body. And Father, we're praying your blessings upon every father everywhere in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, God, that you will strengthen them, you encourage them, fill them with your wisdom, your insight, your understanding, and your revelation. And Father, God, that you will uphold them by your mighty hand. And Father, as we come before you at this hour, Father, we're praying most of all that you will speak a word unto us. Father, encourage the Father, but encourage us all, O God, through your word and by your spirit. Father, give us a listening ear, give us a receptive heart, O God. And Father God, enlighten our eyes of understanding that we may see and know things that we haven't seen or known before. Father God, we humble ourselves under your hand right now. We submit to your authority and to your divine presence. And we believe that as we do that, you shall fill us with your word. Glory to God. And Father, we shall be the better for it. Father, I ask you to look upon me now with your kindness and your love. And Father God, just use me for your glory.
Yes.
Father, I decrease. God, I'm praying that you might increase.
Yes.
That the people may see you, hear you, and bless you, and give you all the glory.
Yes, Father.
For you alone are worthy of it. We turn it over all into your hands now. We give you praise for what you're about to do by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Now, our title today, actually, amen, we're going to take the word of Jesus Christ here. We're going to use it as a title for our fathers who we're encouraging here, those who are going to hear this message, see this message, and even by faith, we're believing someone's hearing it even right now. How many of you know God can take the word? Amen. And bring it to somebody. But the words Jesus says, he says it twice, he uses this phrase, he says, the Father in me. And if you're a father, amen, and even if you're a man who's not a father, and you're a young man, Christian, amen, and you're a young man, Joseph, amen, I want you to know, amen, that the Father is in you, amen. The Father in me, amen, the Father in me. I have the Father in me. That's what Jesus said, amen. Jesus said, I have the Father in me. You know, in our Bible, the word Trinity doesn't appear. But God in three persons is all over the Bible.
Yes.
Right? No Trinity, but God in three persons all over the Bible. Jesus in Matthew 28:19 said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That's what Jesus said. Amen? Amen. And in 1 John 5:7, it says that there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And so the Trinity is in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You remember when Jesus got baptized?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He got baptized. He's the Son. And John the Baptist baptized him. And as he was coming up out of the water, the scripture says that the Spirit mm-hmm. alighted on him like a dove. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's the Spirit.
Amen.
There's the Son. And then after that, the Father spoke from heaven.
Yes.
And said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." There you have Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen. So, and it's all over the Bible.
Amen.
People get caught up on that. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. The word hamburger is not in the Bible either. You don't believe in hamburgers?
That's right.
It makes no sense. You go to McDonald's? I'm supersized. Well, they tell you that ain't the Bible. But it is in the Bible. Amen. And then we see, we get caught up sometimes and we start arguing. And probably, you know, Paul wants, don't start arguing these, just, you know, disputing with people about things that don't matter.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Amen. And if you know the truth, stop thinking God needs you to defend him.
Right.
Jesus.
Wow.
Right? You just speak the truth in love. Amen. And you and listen. And let the Holy Spirit do the convicting. That's his ministry.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit convicts of the truth.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not you.
That's right.
Trinity's in the Bible. And so we see here Jesus, amen. He says something. Amen. He says here that the Father is in me. Because Philip said, "Show us the Father." He said, "How long have I been with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Because, see, there's three persons, but how many of you know, there's no division among them.
Yeah.
It's three in one.
Right.
There's no division in the Godhead.
Yeah.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, amen, but yet one.
Right.
Amen.
And see, we say, how can we, I can't understand that, I can't remember. Listen, how many of you know that there are some things about God that cannot be translated and comprehended by our human minds?
Right.
There's just some things that are beyond that, because there's nothing in our experience that we get equated to. I once had someone come knocking on my door, you know, preaching and stuff, and telling me, "Jesus can't be God. He can't be the Son and God at the same time." You know what he said to me? That's like you saying, he saw Joseph, a little boy at the time. He said, "That's like you saying that your son who stayed over there, that you and him are the same thing." Listen, there are certain things about us that we can't put on God, you know.
Right.
God is beyond, right?
Right?
I rest in God, and I rest in this. Right? When Jesus told his disciples, there are some things that you won't understand now, but you'll understand hereafter.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
I'm content to wait to hereafter for the stuff I don't understand right now.
Right?
Right? And God may tell me and give me understanding on this side of glory or on the other side. But amen. But right now, I know in part.
Amen.
Remember the Bible says? We know what? In part. You can't know the whole thing. But this much I know. Father, Son, Holy Spirit exists. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But Jesus says, the Father is in me. And I believe that every man walking around, I love this right here. Every man walking around, the Father, especially you say, know what you can say? The Father is in me.
Yes.
Yes, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Because the Spirit of God is in you.
Mm-hmm.
And the Father is in you.
Right.
Now, you can't say the way Jesus said it, amen?
Right.
But he said, I and the Father are one.
Right.
So we don't have that level of intimacy, amen?
Right.
But the Father is in me. If you're a father, you can stand flat footed. If you're a man, amen, maybe you don't have a son yet, or a child yet, Christian. But you're only 10. But the Father's in you. And what does that mean? That means that listen, the attributes of the Father are in you. And I believe that's appropriate on Father's Day, amen, that father should know what kind of attributes are in you. Because the Father's in you. And it can help you be the best father you can be.
Yeah.
There are certain attributes, certain characteristics of God as Father that we as earthly fathers should exhibit.
Yes.
Why? Because the Father is in me. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yes.
Father's in me.
Father's in me.
Amen?
Amen.
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 The Father's in me. And even for a man who's not a father yet, meditate on it in advance. Don't wait till you get there.
That's right.
Meditate on it in advance. Why? So that, the Spirit can nurture that thing on the inside of you. So that when the blessing comes, when you do become an earthly dad, you be ready.
That's right.
The Father in me. And there are certain characteristics that we should have as fathers, amen? Because the Father is in us. We're going to talk about some. We ain't going to talk about everything. I mean, you know, you can't talk about God the whole
thing. Right.
But let's talk about a few things. As fathers. What should be on the inside of you if you're a father? An earthly father. If the Father is in you. Well, let's start here because I like the Bible says, now abides faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So let's talk about the greatest.
Amen.
Love should be on the inside of you as a father.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? Why? Because God is love, the scriptures tell us. Amen? You know, God is love. And so if the Father's on the inside of you, love should be on the inside of you.
Yeah.
But also, too, let's talk about this. Love, I want to join this. Love and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I think about? When I think about the Father, when Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son, you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
The prodigal son took his inheritance early and then wasted it on riotous living.
Yeah.
We don't say stuff like that now. Riotous. He wasted his money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Doing all kinds of things he shouldn't have been doing. And he had a plan. And he said, I'm going to go back to my father. Why? Because my servants, he's starving. And he said, the servants in my father's house have plenty to eat.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to my father and say, Father, I am no longer worthy to be even a servant. He was practicing his speech, right?
Yeah.
And this is in Luke chapter 15. Let's turn there as we keep talking. Amen. But turn to Luke chapter 15. Because Jesus tells this parable. Amen. And the son says, I'm going to go back. I'm no longer worthy to be a son. And so he's coming back with his speech fully prepared. Right? Willing to be a servant in his father's house. And verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father. But look at this. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Amen. Not only did the father love him, how do you know the father loved him? Because every day the father was scanning the horizon, seeing that today was the day he was coming home.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. He didn't just happen to be there and see the son coming, because every day he was looking for him, maybe today.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't come today, father would be, get up tomorrow. Well, maybe today.
Yeah.
And how many of you know? His son was a far away. Amen. He said he saw him afar off. He can tell how you walk. That's my boy.
Amen?
Amen? That's my boy. I want you to know God knows how you walk.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Oh, he knows how you walk. You can be a father here. That's my boy. And so he came and he said what? He had compassion on him. So what did he do? He ran to him.
Ran to him.
What's compassion? Compassion is not sympathy. But compassion is when you do feel sympathetic about somebody being in some kind of distress. But that sympathy compels you to want to do something about it. If you feel sorry for somebody but stay where you are, that's not compassion.
Mm.
Amen.
Compassion is sympathy in action.
Jesus. Yeah.
I feel sorry for you. You're in distress. And I want to alleviate. And so I get up from where I am and go over to where you are and say, how can I help you?
Amen.
That's compassion.
Amen.
Looking out the window while I'm in the rain and my car is broke down on the side of the road, and you say to your wife, I sure feel sorry for that guy.
Not good.
That's not compassion, amen. Compassion is you throw on your raincoat.
That's right.
And you come out there and you give me a jump.
Amen. Right.
Wow.
Compassion always moves you toward a person. Amen? Amen. That's why the phrase that we're moved with compassion.
Amen.
Sympathy don't move. You're never moved with sympathy. There's no such phrase.
Jesus.
But we're moved with compassion. Why? Because compassion moves. Compassion don't stay put.
Jesus.
Sympathy stays put. He had compassion, so look what the Father did. What did he do? He ran. See the action that goes with compassion? He ran, he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. So not only is he loving and he's compassionate, but look at this, he's affectionate. This is the Father, y'all. Amen? Amen? He's affectionate. Not only is he affectionate, he then says, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. He's joyful. He's forgiving. His son comes home, and he said, I don't care. I'm glad my son is home. We're going to rejoice.
Amen.
His older son comes home, finds out what's going on, and says, I'm not going in the house and being part of this celebration.
Yep.
And dad comes out and says, come on inside. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Come on inside. Your brother's back home. And his son gets an attitude. I've been serving you all this time. You didn't even give me a goat. But this, your son, comes home and you killed the fat calf. And what about, he was patient even when his older son was talking out of his face. So he's patient. He's kind. He's forgiving. He's generous. Amen. He's loving and he's compassionate. That's part of what's on the inside of us as fathers. We need to be all those things and more to our children.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I know I said Happy Father's Day, but some of this ain't going to make you happy. Why? Because it's a challenge. Listen, if the Word of God don't challenge you, it ain't the Word of God.
Amen.
If you're going to walk out of here and go, yeah, I do all that, I do all that, I do all that. Either somebody didn't preach the Word of God or you lying. The Word of God should challenge you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And so if the Father's in us, this has to be what's in us as well. Amen? As fathers. That we're compassionate. Right? We're moved toward our children. Amen? They don't struggle. We go, well, that's on him. Amen? That's on her.
Mm-hmm.
Now don't get it wrong. That don't mean, amen. Because your father, you still got. There's some things we're gonna get to about that father do as well. Because you're not a pushover, right?
Right. That's right.
But you need to stop trying to be all hard. And see, the society teaches men to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Right? Little boy, you fall down. Little boy, done broke his knee in three places. Get out of here, boy, cry.
Oh, Jesus.
What kind of nonsense is that? If a man is supposed to cry, why he allows men the ability to cry?
Amen.
Don't make any sense. Men are not supposed to cry. Why you got tear ducts?
Jesus.
Huh?
Right. Amen.
Men are not supposed to cry. What, you better than Jesus? Jesus wept.
That's
right.
That's right.
Amen.
Come on, son. See, the world is twisted, you know. And then a whole generation of men who grow up and don't even know how to express their emotions.
So true.
Have four or five kids, never hugged one of them.
Jesus.
Right?
Sir.
That's not the father in me, amen. This father is affectionate. You see this? Ran, hugged, kissed. Right? Amen. So one of the things we see about the father, amen, the father is what? The father is loving and compassionate. Second thing I want to talk about today, amen, is that A father is a teacher.
Amen.
I like what Paul said. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So I'm not talking about a father being a teacher like you teaching your son how to play golf or you teaching, you know what I mean? You teach your kid how to ride a bike. That's good. But we talk about teaching here. We talk about teaching your children about God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. You're supposed to teach your children. So you can say, but you should teach by example. Mm-hmm. I think you should teach by example first before you start trying to teach by word.
Amen.
I think that's good across the board no matter what. Don't tell me something you ain't doing.
Jesus.
Because your word will not carry any authority with it. Right?
Amen.
Teach by example first before you start trying to teach by word.
That's right.
Be the example. And then teach. Amen? Imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Amen.
Now when you start opening your mouth, see, you can't tell your kid read the Bible when you don't read yours.
Mm. Jesus.
Ouch.
That's right.
You can't tell your kid to go to church when you were, last time you've been was like three Christmases ago.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
True. Very true.
You have to lead by example. You know, John wrote in 3 John in the 4th verse, he said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think as a father, think about that. Right? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
Yes.
What's the truth? The word of God. Amen. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. As a father, there's nothing that can give you greater joy than to know that your children are walking and living by the word of God.
Amen.
But that is not going to happen on its own. God has said what? He said what? Train up a child in the way he should go. That means we have a responsibility in the training and the teaching. And this is something that God established, you know, even before he brought the children into the promised land. You remember in Deuteronomy 6, it says this. In verse 6 and 7, it says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That was God's plan, amen. And it still remains God's plan that parents and the fathers, amen, teach their children about him.
Amen.
Amen. And that's not an Old Testament thing. In Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6, I'm going to turn it in. Ephesians 6 and verse number 4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture and admonition. That means that we are to give them instruction. We are to give them guidance in the things of God. That's our responsibility, amen.
Right.
To give our children instruction, amen,
yeah,
and guidance in the things of God. I think it's good, amen, especially if you have younger children at home. You're a father, amen, you should have family devotion time.
Amen.
And you're the one leading. Amen.
Right.
See, this is what we say. If it makes sense, and I believe most people agree with this, right? You do not send your kids to school and expect the school system to teach your kid everything that they need to know, do you?
Right. That's right.
Then watch this. Then don't send them to church.
Amen. Oh,
okay. And believe that everything they're supposed to know about God is supposed to come from the church.
Right.
Church starts at home, amen.
Amen.
Ministry starts at home. Be witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, outermost parts of the world.
Yes.
Inside out. Start at home.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
That's it.
You drop off your kid at Sunday school and you put it all on the Sunday school teacher to teach them about David and Goliath. You should teach them.
Mm-hmm.
is true. Amen? As a father, why? Because we want our children to learn about God. Right? Why? Because, listen, the only way they're going to be successful in this world is by living according to the Word of God. I'm talking about true success. Right? They have to have that foundation. Now, they get older, you know, kids are going to do what kids do. Right? Sometimes they stray a little bit, test their wild oats or whatever. It don't have to happen. But many times it does. But if they have that foundation in godliness and in right living, right? But it's up to us as fathers to not think it's just going to happen by circumstance. I've noticed something over the years. If mom and dad live in a house with children, and mom comes to church, the children may come to church. But if dad comes to church, the whole house comes to church. The dog be in the car, listen. That amen. The whole house comes to church. If the dad comes to church. Why? Because that's the authority. Not because of anything other than the divine authority that God has placed on you as the head of the household. That how come, and again, mothers have authority too, don't get it wrong. But how come mom can say certain things to the kid and they don't do nothing and they can just say, okay, wait till your daddy get home. And all of a sudden,
yeah.
That changes some stuff.
Yeah.
So true.
Because there's something we all understand that's been deposited in us by God. That the Father has authority in the household that's given unto him by God. That's different. Amen? But we have to teach our children, amen. So as fathers, if the Father's in you, you have love and compassion in you, but what else you have in you? You have this, you are a teacher. Teach your children about the Lord, amen.
Amen.
Teach them about the things of God.
That's right.
Third thing I want to say to you today, amen. If you are a father and the Father is in you, then you are the standard bearer of godliness in your household before your children.
Oh, yeah.
What I mean by that? That means you raise up the standard of godliness in your house and you don't lower it for anything or anybody.
That's it. Amen.
Hmm? Where are you getting that from? You remember Jesus? When he tore up the temple, he didn't take it up. He cleansed it. I said he tore it up. But you remember he cleansed the temple? Why he cleansed the temple? Because they were selling things in the temple. Right? They were changing money in the temple. Right? They were interfering with worship in the temple. And Jesus made a whip and started whipping, right? He overturned the tables. Why? He said, because this is supposed to be a house of prayer.
Right.
And you have turned it into a den of thieves. Did he say to them, excuse me, sir, can you not do that here? No, he didn't. He went in there and he overturned some stuff. Why? Because he was upholding the standards of God. What was he saying? You ain't doing this in my, and you ain't doing this in this house.
Amen.
Is that what he's saying? You're not doing that in this house. Why? I'm upholding the standard of God.
Amen.
And inside every father should be the same thing. Amen. There should be certain things that you can you stand up and you go, you ain't doing that in this house.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
Amen.
We're the fathers. Amen. We have to be the standard bearer. Jesus was the standard bearer. He's our example. Amen.
Right.
You're not doing that in this house.
Right.
Bring your friends over. Down says, I hear you saying, what? Who talking like that? I don't care if little Johnny cursing his house, he ain't cursing in his house. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
Little Johnny, you want to curse, take your little self back home.
That's right.
But you're not cursing in this house.
Right. Exactly. Amen. Glory.
Why? Because I live up to standard.
Right.
And I don't know it for anybody. Am I telling you?
You are, sir.
You said what? I'm going to be polite? What? Holy man! I remember years ago, we were living in Virginia. We had a whole bunch of family come by.
Mm-hmm.
And we had cookouts, and they came from New York. Mm-hmm. And they stopped by. Amen. And made food on the grill.
Yeah,
outside. Some of them smoke. Mm-hmm. Then they want to listen to, like, Hot 97. You know what I mean?
Right.
They want to listen to certain music.
Right.
You know. And they want to do some cursing and stuff. And we're like, turn that music off.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep.
Put your cigarette out.
Wow.
We going to church tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You know what they did? They cut their visit short. They left.
Amen.
You know what we did?
See you.
Wow.
See you
wow.
Amen. Amen. In my house. And what? We upholding?
The same. Amen. Yes, sir.
And see, here's a funny thing. You might go in your house, it's raining outside, you got a mat, you do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk in. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You may do that in your house.
Right.
You go to a friend's house, and it's not even raining or anything, and they tell you, oh, you can't take off your shoes. What do? You take off
your shoes.
Your shoes. Why? Because you in their house. You don't take off your shoes in your house, though. But why are you doing it in their house? Because it's their house.
Right. Amen. Exactly.
So if I didn't take off my shoes in your house because I'm respecting your house and what you do in your house,
right,
then guess what? You put that cigarette out.
Right.
Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And if you don't like it, send me a postcard. Because you ain't coming in. Keep the standard raised, amen.
Amen.
So as men of God, as father, the father being in you, know we gotta be in our house? We have to be the standard bearers. And know what God said. He said in Matthew 18:18, he said, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven.
Yep.
See, when you lift up the standard, all heaven backs you up.
Amen. Amen.
When you say, I'm not allowing this, heaven backs you up. But watch this. If you allow that stuff to go in your house, God will allow it too. Why? Because he put you there as the standard bearer. He said, if you're going to allow that mess, then I ain't going to do nothing either.
Wow.
Jesus.
And you on your knees praying, God, please have this guy stop cursing in my house. And God said, you let it happen. Do you understand?
Yeah.
If you allow it, God will allow it. If you bind it, God will bind it. Because he'll back you up. Don't be afraid to, listen, it may cost you something. You think when Jesus overturned the table, he made a whole lot of friends?
Jesus.
Listen, you got to be ready to take the slings and the arrows, amen? If wife going to be mad at you, wife going to have to be mad at you. But your mother going to have to do what I'm saying. Kid ain't talking to you. I ain't talking to you. You make me sad.
Oh, Jesus.
Remember that, Brandy? Brady was mad at me one time. Sister did, I tell this to her, right? I tell her me. Your friend. She was mad at me one day. God said something to her. Can't do that. And she went upstairs. Right? Remember? And the next morning, she came down and I'm talking to her. Amen. Because listen, your father, you don't hold grudges. Amen. Right? So I'm talking to her and I said, you were pretty mad at me last night, wasn't you?
Yeah.
You didn't like what I did you?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you probably went upstairs and said that I made you sick, right?
Right.
It's okay. I know you went upstairs. You probably said, man, he gets me sick. I said, it's okay. I said, I know you went back to your room. I said, no, well, don't worry about it. Because there's sometimes I go back to my room and I say, you get me sick.
That's right. Oh my God.
What's the point? The point is this. Don't tell your children that get you sick, man. That's not the point. That was done to get some honesty from her. Amen? Listen, it's okay. You may be mad at me, but that's okay. Listen, it ain't going to move me. I'm still going to do what's right.
Right.
And I may know that that's what you're doing, but I'm not going to be moved by it. Why? Because the standard being raised is more important. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You got to be willing to allow them to be mad at you and to live with it. Because in the end, you're going to have to answer to God. And when he comes in your house is jacked up, he coming looking for you.
Yes, he is.
Eve ate the fruit.
Yeah.
But she was deceived.
Right.
That don't make her worse. That makes Adam worse. Because he ate it with full knowledge.
Yeah.
So what happened? God came and said, what? Eve, where art thou? He said, Adam, where art thou? Why? Because your house is messed up. So please understand something. You allow your kids to just run roughshod, God coming looking for you.
Amen.
Oh, he's going to deal with your children, but he's looking for you first.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
He's looking for you first. Why? Because he put you in charge. Amen?
Amen.
Uphold the standard, right?
Amen.
Joshua said, if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, what? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Right? You can serve the God who your father served on the other side of the flood. You can serve the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But what? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
So you know what I say to my unsaved friends and my unsaved friends? I ain't hating on you. You want to serve the God of the Amorites? But when you come over my threshold, we serve the Lord up in here.
That's right.
I'll teach you like the planet of the eight. We get ready to eat. Bow your head. You remember that? We say grace before we eat. You start singing to the chick. Bow your head. Why? Because we uphold the standard. Amen? The Father's in us. Amen. Jesus uphold the standard. We uphold the standard. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Two more things and then we're going to leave. If the Father's in you, amen. Father's in you. There's something else that should be on the inside of you. There should be a warrior on the inside of you. Watch this. We're going to spend a few minutes here, but I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 1. 15. Exodus chapter 15. God had just led the children of Israel through the Red Sea. Amen. He parted the sea. They went through on dry ground. We were just talking about that Bible study on Wednesday, right? And he went through on dry ground. And then he let the waters come back and swallowed up the Egyptian army. Amen. All the chariots, the horses, everything. And we get to Exodus 15, and Moses writes a song, and he sings a song. Look what it says in verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse of his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. Verse 3. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. See, I love that right there. See, because some of us walk around, or some people walk around, thinking of God being like some cuddly, you know what I mean? No, the Lord is the man of war. When you go in the book of Revelation, it talks about Jesus, and it talks about how he was seated on a horse. Right? It says his eyes burned like flame. His tongue was like a sword. He's leading a great army. On his thigh, his vesture is dipped in blood. And on his thigh, it says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And see, I remember when I was a kid, in the hallway in our house, there was a picture of Jesus, you know, like with the moon behind him, and it was all bright, and his face was so peaceful.
Yes.
You understand what I mean?
Right.
And see, this is, right? And this is a picture. I'm not saying that he never looked like that sometimes,
right.
But you better understand the other Jesus, too. The one that's on the horse with the eyes that's blowing like flame. And you better know that that Jesus, too.
Right.
You better know that God is a man of war.
Yes.
Why? Because then you stop playing around with him.
Wow.
See, there are too many people playing games with God because they think he's cute and cuddly. Ask Moses. The Bible says, amen, and what is it, Exodus chapter what? Chapter 4. That the Lord was waiting to kill Moses.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
Amen.
But he told him, he said, I want you to be the one to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But Moses didn't circumcise his son. And God had established circumcision as a sign of the covenant between his people and himself. And now he chose Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. And here Moses is as the leader, but he won't circumcise his son. And God said, boy, I'll kill you first. Did I make enough? You read it for yourself. It said God was going to kill Moses. And then his wife circumcised his son. And God let him live. You don't play with God. You don't play with God. God's a man of war. Don't play around with God. Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes 5. It says that if you bow a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools.
Jesus.
Pay that which thou hast vowed. It is better that you should not vow than you should make a vow and not pay it. See, people mess around with God. God, if you let me out of this one, God, I'll get my life right.
Oh,
and then God gets you out of that one, and you go back to living the way you were. You may think you're going to get away, but I'm telling you now, the Lord, he's a man of war.
Amen.
You better stop playing around with God, telling God, if he gave you something, then you do this. Then he gives it to you, but you ain't doing this yet. I'm telling you now, see, the Bible says like this, God not mocked. I'll say it like this. God ain't no punk. Don't try to punk God.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Telling him some stuff. Oh, yeah, if you just do this for me, God, I'll do this. And then he does it. And then you're going to walk over there and not pay him what you vow?
Oh, Jesus.
God ain't no punk. He'll come after you. And he'll let you know in a minute. Don't mess with me, boy. Why do I say that? Because, see, that warrior mentality that typifies our God should typify us as fathers. But watch this. When it comes to spiritual warfare, we can't be playing around. I don't want to hear no man telling me what the devil doing in your house. Devil running all crazy in my house. But what are you doing about it? You're supposed to be a man of war just like your God.
Amen.
What are you doing about it?
Wow.
We were at Pastor Hackett church last week, right?
Amen.
And Pastor Hackett, when we had men's meeting, he would teach us. He taught us this. He told me, how things going, brother? Okay, it is going okay. It is going good. Yeah, you know, job is going all right. You know, my car is running pretty good. You know, I put my car in the shop. Yeah, he said, I don't want to hear that. He said, if I ask you how you doing, this is what I want to hear from you. I want to hear about your wife. I want to hear about your kids. I want to hear about your marriage. And I want to hear about your family. So he said, if I ask you what's going on, you go, praise the Lord, Pastor, everything's great. You know, my wife and I are getting along good. She's going well. You know, our marriage is strong. Our kids are doing great in school and everything else. And we work. Now, you ain't lying, but the bottom line is you need to have a good rapport. And watch this. If you stand before me and you ain't got a good report, you need to get out of my face and go home and get your house right.
Jesus.
Nobody like that right there.
Oh, Jesus.
See, because if the devil is running havoc in your house, what you doing here?
That's right.
You got some work to do. Get to seven. Go home.
Amen.
Do you understand it? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. We have to fight this spiritual battle, but how do we fight it? We fight it like the man of war that the God who is on the inside of us is. We don't fight like cowards. The Bible says, quit yourself like men. That means conduct yourself like a man. You stand flat-footed, amen, and you tell the devil you are not taking another inch.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I bind you right now in the name of Jesus. I cast you out of it. I plead the blood of Jesus against you. Amen. You stand strong.
Amen.
Right? You stand strong. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We're warriors. Amen. We have weapons. Spiritual weapons. And we are spiritual warriors. Just like the God that we just saw here, right? The Lord is a man of war. And when it comes to that spiritual warfare, guess who you are as a father? A man of war. That devil should be afraid every time you wake up in the morning.
Wow, that's so true.
The minute you wake up, they're like, oh man, here he comes again. You understand?
Right.
Because they know, they don't know he in for it today. He's going to try some nonsense, like trying to get you up your car. You go, devil, please. Amen. Amen. And let him go to your neighbor's house. Amen. But he knows, he's in too much trouble over here. I'm going to my neighbor. I'm going next door.
Right.
Amen. We have to be, amen. If the Father is in you,
That's it.
Then that has to be in you. Amen. Last thing I'm going to say, and we're going to leave. So, if you have the Father in you, what love and compassion is in you, you're a teacher, you're a standard bearer, amen? When it comes to spiritual warfare, you are a man of war. Amen? Amen. You take no prisoners of war, right? Because you don't want no enemy, no devil, demons, anything like that around you. Ain't no prisoners,
amen?
You take no prisoners. You know that's why God said, destroy the whole village. It seems so barbaric to us to hear that. When he said, don't let women or children live, you destroy everybody. No, I understand, because that whole village was evil.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you can't mess around with a little bit of sin.
That's it.
Little sin letting the whole know.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
Amen. We're men of war. Last thing I'm going to say is that if we're fathers and the Father is in us, then we have to be visionaries.
Amen?
Amen? Mm-hmm. We got to have the ability to see farther than just what's in front of us. Amen. In order to provide for and to protect our families. And when I think about that, you know what I think about Noah. I think about Noah. Because here Noah is in the middle of a desert. And God tells him to build an ark. Because it's going to rain. And in Hebrews 11 and 7, it says that he believed on something he never saw before.
I know, Jesus.
It never rained, and there was never a flood on the earth. And here God tells him, build a boat. In the middle of a desert.
Jesus.
But because God told him that, he had a vision of what he needed to do. in order to provide for and to protect his family. Hmm?
Amen.
And as a father, you need a vision for your family. Hmm? That was right on time, but I think. But you need a vision for your family. Because if you don't have a vision, what's the Bible say? Where there is no vision, the people perish. And there's another version that says that it says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. When you cast off restraint, that means you do whatever. If you have no vision, you do whatever. But give me a man who has a vision. It guides his decision making. Come on, somebody. A man who's living in a basement apartment but has a vision of a house for himself and his family, guess what? He ain't going out to Atlantic City to bet on the crap tables.
Amen.
Huh?
Right.
His friends and buddies tell him, come on, let's go out for a vacation. I ain't going on no vacation. Why? I'm saving up my money. For I got a vision. It guides his decision making. Amen? He might have an old car, but you know what? I'm going to keep this car. I'm not buying a new car. Why? Because I'm looking to buy a house. I got a vision. I have restraint. But if you have no vision, you cast off restraint. And you do whatever. And then you know your whole house perishes. But Noah had a vision. Right? And he built this ark. And when the floods came, his family was provided for and protected. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
That's what vision does for a father, amen?
Amen?
It allows you to provide for and to protect your family. Amen. Amen. And if the father's in you, then you need to have vision. Hmm? And see, this world doesn't operate that way, right? Here's how the world operates. Couple get married. They have one kid, they got, you know, a little cute house, 1,600 square feet, 2 bedrooms, 1.5 baths. Mm-hmm. Then they have 3 kids, and they say, we got to move.
Right.
Stuff happened, then they expand. That ain't vision.
No.
Amen?
Amen?
That's not vision. If you think you want to have 3 kids, then you better start looking for that house.
Amen.
Do you understand? But the world does that. Right? How many businesses? They wait till they got too much business, then they look to hire employees.
Right, yeah.
But you gotta have enough vision that you start hiring folk.
That's right.
Another thing I said, you gotta have vision. Mm-hmm. And vision comes from God. I ain't saying you should just go, I'm gonna have this, and then you go hire folk and you go out of business 2 weeks.
Right.
But if God gives you the vision, like he gave to Noah, then you can go forward in faith, knowing that vision is for an appointed time. It shall come to pass. Amen? But what's the point? The point is you just can't be stuck in the here and now, just seeing what's right in front of your face. You got to be able to see down the road a pace. Amen?
That's right.
In order to take care of it. My wife will tell you, amen, I'm never just looking at this. I'm always like, she be talking to me about this, and I'm like, what? Because it's over.
Right.
There's stuff in my life that's over that I don't even have yet.
Right.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying, Brother God? There's some stuff that God gave me a vision for that I've already received by faith. I don't have it in my pocket yet, but it's already done for me.
Right.
I'm on to the next thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Because as a father, you got to have vision. You got to see down the road. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And so listen, if the Father is in us, amen, and the Father is in us, then let us exhibit some of these characteristics. I think it would help us to be effective fathers. Amen? You walk with love and compassion, right? You teach your children about God, right? You lift up the standard and don't compromise it for anything or anybody in your house, right? You are a man of war when it comes to the spiritual battle that you have to face, right? And you're a visionary. Amen? Able to hear God and to move in faith for things that other people can't see yet.
Amen.
Huh? And we're like that. We're going to have powerful families, Brother Don. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to have powerful families and powerful communities. Why? Because we will be taking care of our children and our families according to the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so I praise God, amen, that you have the Father in you.
Amen.
Amen. Joseph, you don't have any kids yet, but you got the Father in you.
Amen.
Christian, I know you're small, but you got the Father in you.
Amen.
If you don't have children yet, you still got the Father in you. Amen? Now guess what? It's up to all of us as fathers and those who are fathers to be to let it come out. Amen?
Amen.
And for the women, help your husband do these things. Right? But here's the other thing. If you're not married yet, I know. Don't just look for his curly hair and his nice car. Look to see if he got some of this going on. Amen? Right? Sister Patricia?
Right.
His credit report might be somewhat important. Amen? But listen, it ain't about his credit report. It's about the report of the Lord on his life.
Amen.
Which report will you believe? I ain't believing no credit report. I ain't believing no medical report. I'm not believing no report card from school. I believe the report of the Lord.
Amen.
I want to know how you grade out in God's school. Study to show yourself approved unto God. That's the report I want to know. Right, Division?
Amen.
Because if you're failing with God, I don't care if you summa cum laude in your school.
That's right.
You ain't coming over here. Jessica, right?
All right.
They may be valedictorian, but they don't know God.
Amen.
Let's stand and praise him. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Amen. We have a Father on the inside of us.
Amen.
Amen. His characteristics, his attributes, amen. And we praise God for it. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. But as Jesus said, that the Father is in me. So each father who stands before us, each man of God, can make the same declaration that the Father is in me. Father, it's our prayer today, God, that you will allow all of your wonderful attributes that we just touched on some, just a few.
Yeah.
But we're praying, God, that you would allow all of your wonderful attributes to be evident in our lives.
Yes.
That, Father God, that we, oh God, will be the ones, oh God, who emulate you. That, Father God, that we would walk in love and compassion, that we would be teachers and of godliness in our homes, that we will uphold the standard of God, that we will fight spiritual warfare, oh God, without blinking or flinching, and that, Father God, that we would be men of vision. And, Father, we're praying, God, that you will develop all of this in us, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that we can best represent you in the earth. Father, I pray blessings and an anointing on every father in the name of Jesus Christ. That, Father God, that we all will rise up in this blessed calling that you have given us, this awesome privilege and responsibility. And, Father, that we will take your power and your might, glory to God, and, Father, be the best fathers, earthly fathers that we can be. Father, we ask you now to forgive each and every one of us of all of our failures of the past. But Father God, also as you forgive us, oh God, Father, let us be loosed from them right now in the name of Jesus, knowing, God, that as we accept your forgiveness, we can go forward with confidence and in faith, knowing, God, that you have given us a new slate. So, Father God, as you forgive us, we thank you for it. And, God, we ask you, Lord, to give us strength to be better as we go forward, that we can give you honor in the name of Jesus. Father, bless every father right now. Glory to God. With your presence forevermore, dwell with us, lead us and guide us. And, Father, we give you the praise on this day. Happy Father's Day to every father. And happy Father's Day to our Heavenly Father. We give you the praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Father, we praise you. Father, we bless you. Father, we bless you.